Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We are gathered today, and there is a sense of excitement in the air. Something grand is taking place. It feels like a parade. The people gathered in the streets that day were also excited because it was a grand parade. They were there to welcome their Messiah, a warrior, a liberator, someone who would drive out the Romans, restore the kingdom, and bring glory back to Israel. A political powerhouse, a majestic king on a white horse, a new David. We certainly can get into the spirit of this kind of parade, right? Because we have done it on every Palm Sunday. We gather and we cry out with the crowd, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We cry, Hosanna! It means Savior. On Palm Sunday, we welcome our Savior. I ask you to move with me, if you will, from this grand parade to a different time. Back to the 1990s. If you can remember back that far, I trust. There was a music artist by the name of Alanis Morissette, and she sang a song I could not get enough of. Isn't it ironic? And the chorus went like this. Isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you just didn't take. And who would have thought? It figures. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. A death row pardon 2 minutes too late. It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? Well, I think that life is most definitely like this all the time. The thing we want, the thing we desire most in life is the one thing we can't get or don't get. Sometimes it isn't what we need. Sometimes it just isn't part of God's plan for our lives, even though we want it so badly. We must accept the difference is in God's vision for us. We are challenged to embrace this new vision that God graciously gives to us. Can we just receive it and embrace it as our own? This is the always present gift of Palm Sunday. Today, on this Palm Sunday, we have a very different version of Isn't It Ironic? It's like a savior when what you wanted was a king. The folks that were gathered that morning were looking for a Messiah riding on a horse, dressed for battle, triumphant and mighty. Instead, they got a man on a donkey, surrounded not by soldiers, but by children and commoners. He came not to take the throne, but to carry a cross. There's a great tension here. The gates were open, the people were ready. But they welcomed the right king for the wrong reason. And because they were so focused on their own desires, they weren't open to hearing what Jesus was telling them. On this grand day, Jesus is treated like royalty. But Palm Sunday, for all its pageantry, is nothing but an ambush in disguise. Jesus is treated like royalty. Then 5 short days later, he is crucified. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? Jesus definitely isn't who they thought he was. Certainly not what they expected, and surely not what they wanted. He's meek, not militant. He offers peace rather than persecution. He speaks of loving enemies rather than defeating them and stomping their haughty imperial faces into the dirt. No wonder people turned on him. They wanted a revolution. All he offered was repentance. They wanted a coronation while Jesus was preparing for a crucifixion. It looks like a parade, but there's neither a crown nor a scepter for this king. For Jesus, the road ahead is not strewn with palm branches, but nails, thorns, and bitter gall. Those who welcome Jesus with shouts of Hosanna will very soon cry out, "Crucify him!" What a stark, stark difference. Look how quickly the people turn on Jesus when he doesn't immediately satiate their deepest desires. I'd like to challenge all of us to really think about this for a moment as it relates to us personally. It's certainly not an easy thing to do, and it definitely makes us very uncomfortable. Yet it is so important for us to sit with this discomfort, to live with it and let it really sink in, because this is the only way we can fully accept the real message of Palm Sunday. Let's be honest, as we stand here on the brink of Holy Week, we struggle to welcome the real Jesus. We want a Savior who confirms our worldview, not one who challenges it. We want gates that open on our terms, not his terms. If you'll remember back with me to the psalm this morning, it refers to gates of righteousness. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. The mind immediately goes to the massive, ornate, and intimidating gates that have been erected by cities and nations throughout world history. David was more than likely referring to a Jerusalem gate when he wrote the psalm. And there are many of them. Jaffa Gate, Zion Gate, Lion's Gate, Herod's Gate, and the most famous of all, the Damascus Gate. I think about the only gateway I've ever seen, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. 630 feet tall, stainless steel. It's the tallest human-made monument in the Western Hemisphere. But let's not forget. Don't forget the gates of righteousness are much more than a celebratory arch. The metaphorical meaning is even more important for us to know by heart. It's an invitation to surrender, a call to give ourselves completely and fully to our God. If we dare to reflect honestly, each one of us is like that crowd from long ago. Even today, we greet Jesus with mixed hearts. We want a Savior, but we also like to have things our way. We are slow to say, "Not my will, but yours, O Lord." Our rebellion against God is directly up against a call to take up the cross. So there's a challenge here on Palm Sunday to look at that part of ourselves that resists Jesus, that fights God's will, and to ask, how can we leave that? How can we leave that urge to fight at the foot of the cross? The crowds that welcomed Jesus expected many things, but none of them welcomed a Messiah they believed would be dead by the end of the week. Ultimately, the followers of Jesus had to release their own expectations so they could welcome a Messiah who was much greater than they imagined. And this is our greatest challenge in life, truly, to hear and answer Jesus' call. Jesus' call is like a song we hear over and over again, so many times that it gets embedded in our memory. We wake up and are humming this song to ourselves, not sure where it came from, humming it over and over, again and again. It is, if you will, an earwig of faith. We must sing this song. We cannot not sing this song, even though we know how the story ends. We know Easter will come and Jesus will be raised from death into life. And we are called to follow and receive that new life. Even though we know this and we believe this deep in our hearts, still, we hesitate. Still, we resist. Still, we cling to our own hopes and desires, even though we desire to live fully with God. Let this be our hope and the promise we make on this Palm Sunday, to challenge ourselves to fully accept Jesus, our Savior, who sees deep within us and loves us in spite of ourselves. Isn't it ironic? The gates are open. The way is faith. Amen.